Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. I definitely missed you guys. Sorry we had no show last week. I was overcoming the flu after getting back from Atlanta and the joy that was Super Bowl 53. I had a chance to cover my first Super Bowl and, of course, represent this great show. Definitely missed being alongside my co-host, Ray Jones, and my sports analyst, Tyrone Poole. But Tyrone was doing a lot of great stuff at Atlanta as well. As you guys know, he's a former New England Patriot player. So, of course, everyone was getting his thoughts and predictions. But thanks so much to everyone that followed along on social media. But now to kick it off to today's show, we welcome in Canadian-based sports journalist and writer Walla Amara. Yes, so we have a great show for you guys today. And today's show will actually be dedicated to someone special that the sports world lost. You'll have to stay tuned to find out exactly who that is. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, as we always like to kick off the shows, this week in sports history, I'm going to go back to February 9th, when in 1895, the sport of volleyball was invented by W.G. Morgan in Massachusetts. So as a former volleyball player, of course, I had to share the great love with you guys. And as you guys know, volleyball is a sport that continues to be very dominant in high schools and colleges. And then, of course, our U.S. team always does very well in the Olympics. So shout out to W.G. Morgan for inventing the sport of volleyball. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with our special guest. Stay tuned.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-561-6947. 800-561-6947. 800-561-6947. Again, that's 800-561-6947.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the DMV. I am the other Ray J, along with Kelsey Nicole Nelson and Tyrone Poole. Join me in welcoming international sports journalist Walla Amara. How are you doing today, Walla?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to have you here. I'm excited about this show. I'm excited to get into these topics. So, but before we go any further, I do have to ask you a couple of icebreaker questions. Just a little easy game to get everyone loosened up. We call this game This or That. A very simple game where you pick one or the other. You ready?
Okay.
All right. So Five Guys or In-N-Out Burger?
Okay. Sorry. Can you repeat your question?
Five Guys Burgers or In-N-Out Burgers?
Oh, okay. All right, because I'm in Canada, right? So it's a bit different. I don't think that we have In-N-Out, but I would definitely go for Five Guys because that's what we have.
Oh, man, we gotta get an In-N-Out burger in Canada. That's crazy. All right. I'm pretty sure you guys have these. Gatorade or Powerade?
Gatorade, for sure.
Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
Oh, that's hard. It depends on the season, but I would go for sweet potato pie.
Okay. How about both? Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Android or iPhone?
Android. I have a Samsung, always rolled with a Samsung, and I think I'm gonna remain loyal to Android.
You might have been the first droid guest we've had so far since we started doing it. Wow. So,
I get that all the time.
Green bubbles, okay. Hulu or Netflix?
Netflix.
Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter.
DC Comics or Marvel Comics?
Marvel Comics, for sure.
All right. Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
And the last question, a little tough one here. Toilet paper over or under?
Over.
All right. So we learned a lot about you with this one. You picked sweet potato pie. Droid, you know, like I said, you're our first droid guest, so that's very interesting. That was a little shocker there. You're like, I never expected anyone to pick droid. But all for this. I appreciate you playing the game with us. So, Kelsey, or actually, before we move on to Kelsey, you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself? I see you are a linguist and you're a sports journalist based in Canada. So just tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so I'm actually a polyglot, so I speak four languages, and I do soccer correspondence with Fox Sports 1340. So I cover, I'm a journalist. I cover soccer and basketball mainly. These are my two main sports. That's my niche. And it's basically just pro ball, uni, college. Well, we have college here in Canada, college basketball, which is different than your college basketball. It's like a step under university basketball, if we should state it that way, and also soccer, MLS, UEFA, pretty much international soccer worldwide. So, yeah, that's my passion. I love doing it. I think that sports bring people together, and I love the stories that stem from the sports world about the people and everything around that. So that's briefly what I do.
Nice, Lala. Well, we appreciate you giving us your background and ways before that section. Honestly, always surprises me. Like Ray said, I'm still surprised by your Android pick. It seems like everyone now is Team iPhone, but we have no discrimination here against Android. But I think I'm the only person that loves pumpkin pie better than sweet potato pie. So I guess I just figured one out.
Yeah, I will not be forgotten, so that's a good thing.
Very good to know. And I still want a Coke over Pepsi person, especially since I was just in Atlanta. I love being surrounded by Coca-Cola products. So I was a very happy person for Super Bowl, Kelsey, mind you.
Kelsey, before we move on, I do have one more this or that I just came up with the top of the head.
All right, go ahead.
This one might be a little tough. So Toronto Raptors or Vancouver Grizzlies?
All right. So I'm going to ask you a question on top of that one, just so I can understand clearly. Are we referring to our current era, or were you just referring about, like, of all-time Canadian? That's a tough one, honestly. Because the Grizzlies back then, they were phenomenal, especially for Canadian basketball. They meant a lot to us, even the generation before me, because I'm 23 years old. So I would stick with the Raptors just for their continuous work, especially specifically towards Canadian ball. But the Vancouver Grizzlies also deserve to get a lot of credit. So I'd say the Raptors first and then the Grizzlies. Yeah.
Okay. I always was curious because I know, you know, the Grizzlies are no longer there. So I wonder how Canadians felt about them and their history behind them. You know, Big Country Reeves was a huge player back in the day. And Sharif Abdul-Rahim, a lot of people forget about those players. So I just figured I'd ask someone that actually is around that Canadian culture what the experience was like with those two teams and which one was their preference. So thank you for that question. Yeah.
No problem. Actually, thank you. I'm surprised that you guys are aware that there was a previous second Canadian basketball team here, and that it does no longer exist. That's really good of you to acknowledge it. And you'd be surprised how many people here know about the Vancouver team that existed before, and they still recognize it and they still talk about it. So it's good. That's good for you to ask. Thank you.
All right.
Wow.
Kelsey,
look at what. Yeah, right. I'm proud of you. Look at you getting the accolades. See, I pick good people to be on the show with me. But that being said, Wala, I will get into the question and answer part. And actually, Ray, this made me think of a question. I know you said you're mostly focused on soccer and basketball, so you don't cover any of the Canadian Football League at all?
No.
I'm just curious. We know football this season, since we have new football leagues here in the U.S. with the Alliance Football League and then the XFL coming back
next year. It's just a lot of talk about, of course, the other professional leagues other than the NFL. But getting into that, Wala, I want to start with you with, unfortunately, on a sad note, of course, Emilio Sala, who disappeared on January 21st without any trace for just over 2 weeks, was officially confirmed dead this past Friday after the plane, which the 28-year-old Argentina traveled from, landed into the seabed of the English Channel. So first and foremost, I have to ask you, what are your thoughts on Emiliano's legacy and his life during this time of mourning and sadness?
Yeah, so I think that for any sports fan, I mean, to hear such terrible news, of course, it's very saddening. Salah was living a career-defining moment upon his transfer to Premier League's Cardiff City from his previous French club, Nantes. So he scored a total of 42 league goals in 3.5 years. He had already visited the Welsh club twice upon signing with them, and he was thrilled to join his new teammates. So even his last post on Instagram, it was like a photo of him and his former teammates of Nantes, and it was like it stated the last one. He was so eager to join Cardiff City, and he had a legacy of a driven and humble young football player. He left France; it was like his second home after Argentina. So like he's done a lot with his previous team, and he was so excited to that second chapter of his professional football career. So it's definitely saddening for anyone who follows the football world.
Yes, for sure. I mean, the news was just heartbreaking. I think everyone's, still mourning and getting over it. And that being said, I mean, he was in the prime of his life and career. The Argentine, of course, was among the leading goal scorer, who you mentioned, this season in France, and earned the $15 million dream move to the Premier League with Cardiff City, which you talked about. And having never got the opportunity to play for Cardiff City after the dream move, he's now firmly in the hearts and thoughts of the Bluebird fans forever, despite never having played for the beloved South Wales-based club. But however, I want to ask you, can Cardiff City now rise above this period of mourning and, of course, relegation battle after the Bluebirds' pivotal 2-1 victory against Southampton this past Saturday?
Yeah. Despite the fact that the transfer never came to fruition because of, unfortunately, his passing, I think that they definitely can. Cardiff is currently ranked 16th in the Premier League table. They host this weekend, actually, they hosted a one-minute tribute to Salah prior to playing against Southampton, a game that they led by 2-1. They had their second victory after playing against Bournemouth on the 2nd of February, and the whole team seemed really devastated by the saddening death of their newest teammate. The head coach arrived at the field, encouraging the fans to keep chanting for Emiliano, raising his hands in tribute to Salah. So the club, I mean, they'll be competing against 8th place Watford on the 22nd of February, I think, and it's a game that they need to be cautious of, and more importantly, prepare for extremely well if they want to get ahead and prove everyone that what the club is capable of. So I believe that they will still be able to rise above circumstances. I mean, they have to if they want to really move ahead in the Premier League, because they're amongst the last teams.
Right. No, well said. And switching gears, I mean, of course, we had the much awaited 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, was kicked off this summer. We have Tanzania, Egypt, Senegal, Nigeria, Morocco, Algeria, Mali, Guinea, Ghana, Kenya, Madagascar, Uganda, Ivory Coast, and more are among the teams qualified. So I want to ask you, which team do you believe is the dark horse in this tournament?
That's a tough question, but I would say Senegal. They have a good generation of players now. They've got Kalidou Koulibaly, who also happens to be one of the best defenders in the world in Serie A's Napoli. They also have Sadio Mane, who Senegal, they fought until the last day of the group phase in the World Cup against Japan. They have really, really good players. It's a good new team that they have now. So I think that they will be, I would rate them amongst the dark horse for this tournament. And I'd also speak about Mauritania. Because they're first in their group during the qualifiers. They conceded 4 victories and 1 loss thus far, and I think that we should be on the lookout for them. I'll also go to even consider Morocco, actually, to be somewhat of a dark horse. The Moroccan national football team qualified for the 2018 World Cup, making it their first time in 20 years. So we shall see what they will be able to do in the in this cup that starts in June, and it's going to be in Egypt. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be exciting to keep our eyes on. And of course, elsewhere, the FIFA Women's World Cup in France 2019 kicks off this summer. Canada, of course, hosted the FIFA Women's World Cup back in 2015. But I'd like to know your thoughts
on the women's game in 2019, while a notably women's soccer growth and popularity and, of course, the affordability for game tickets. I mean, how do you kind of see it growing in Canada?
Canada hosted the FIFA World Cup, as you mentioned, in 2015, the FIFA World Cup here. So that has definitely helped in promoting women's soccer here, but also worldwide. If you look at veterans such as Abby Wambach, who has mm-hmm. the most international goals scored, 184 goals among women's association football players. And also a couple months ago, we had the first ever women's Ballon d'Or winner, Norwegian Ada Hagerberg from Olympique Lyonnais, and she also plays in the Norway women's national team. So all of these elements, I mean, they help a lot, but also I think that social media and all these like women football celebs promoting the game that kind of help it spread on a global level and also in Canada and in the United States. So Canada will be opening their World Cup campaign on June 10th against Cameroon in Montpellier, France. So best of luck for all the teams, but it's definitely going to be a big deal this summer.
Yeah, all eyes will be on it. I know I will for sure be watching. And of course, since we have you on, and of course, this weekend is the NBA All-Star Game, I have to get your thoughts on NBA basketball. So we'll start with your native team. We want to talk about the Toronto Raptors, who are currently second in the NBA Eastern Conference. So what are your overall thoughts on the Raptors this season?
I think that especially with the addition of Kawhi Leonard this summer, I think that they've never been this good, this phenomenal, just as a unit. They have underperformed from deep this year. They're hopeful, and they also got their latest addition, Marc Gasol, and Jeremy mm-hmm. Lin yesterday, actually, who also signed for the Raptors. So these additions, especially Jeremy Lin, he's going to be a great addition for pick and roll. Gasol, he can shoot somewhere near the 36% average his shot over the last three seasons. All of these additions make the Raptors kind of a powerhouse right now. Nick Nurse, who is the head coach, his philosophy and his vision with this team is quite honestly it's fantastic what he's done with the Raptors. I think they have a couple of back-to-back games remaining on the schedule, and they have plenty of practice time to figure out how to best utilize all these like additions. But Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, they've worked magic so far this year, and with their pick and pop combo with Gasol to the three-point shot becomes a real threat. He's able to stretch defense, and I think that they're gonna make it to the playoffs and even further, definitely.
Hey, can they win the East, Wallace?
Sorry?
Can they win the East, do you think? Will we see them in the championship?
I think that they definitely have big chances, but they also need to still be cautious because the Milwaukee Bucks, who's currently ranked first in the Eastern mm-hmm. Conference, they are also really good. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the whole system around him, all the players really evolving around a superstar. It's gonna be tough, but they definitely have odds that are super high for them to win it, definitely.
Yeah, and that being said, I mean, with regards to the early season NBA MVP candidates, which players have impressed so far this season?
Mm-hmm. I think it would definitely be Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Bucks. He's a superstar. He's young. His team is on top. Is the top team in the East right now. A legit finals contender and one of the most surprising stories of the NBA season. He may soon even become the face of the league as LeBron hits like the golden years, because LeBron is going towards his final years now. So Giannis, he's playing for, it's just time to recognize his youthful brilliance. And I feel like what best to do that with an MVP award. He's definitely surprised a lot of people, and he's not even at his peak because he's really young. So as the years go by, this guy is definitely going to be a surprise for many. And to me personally, I think that he would be the best MVP candidate. So, mm-hmm. I just have one. And
I mean, he's been playing lights out, and he's been doing it, I think, since he came in the NBA, the Greek freak, for a reason. And he truly, like you said, I mean, he's been leading the Bucks just all around, and that's why they've been doing so well this season. And, of course, talking about him leads me into, of course, this Sunday we have the 2019 NBA All-Star Game. So what are your thoughts on Sunday's NBA All-Star Game? And, of course, we have the halftime entertainment being performed by J. Cole. And just give us your various thoughts to all the festivities happening surrounding NBA All-Star.
Actually, I'm really happy that they had J. Cole. I believe he's a North Carolina native.
Yeah,
so that's good. I also heard that Meek Mill is going to be he's going to be in the introductions, I believe. The All-Star, he's going to be doing the All-Star introductions. It's going to be the 68th edition. So, I mean, I'm excited for it as much as so many other people that are so eager to watch all these contests. We have the, the starters were announced on January 24th. So it's going to be Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, so for the East. And Kawhi Leonard from the Toronto Raptors, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers as well. It's going to be his second selection. Stephen Curry, James Harden. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch this weekend. And they also added Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki is going to be their last appearance in the All-Star Games.
So sad to see them go.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And before we let you go, give us your favorite All-Star memory, favorite All-Star game memory.
For me, it would be in 2016. I will not forget, like, the dunk contest with the dunk contest with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. They finished with, like, perfect scores on both of their final round dunks, and they needed a dunk off to determine the winner. So reaching deep into their bag of tricks, each player delivered another jaw-dropping dunk that, again, was given a perfect score. So it was really, really fun to watch, and I will not forget. Like, that was my best memory of, like, all the All-Star games, the dunk contest in 2016 with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, for sure.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Walla, for your memories. That's also one of my favorite memories. I'm pretty sure, Ray, we discussed that back on Three's the Crowd, right, when it happened. But we definitely enjoyed your time with us, Walla. Thanks again so much. Before we let you go, let people know where they can find you on social media.
Yes. So I am on Twitter under Walla Amara, just my name, W-A-L-A, last name Amara, A-M-A-R-A, as well as on Facebook, same thing, and on Instagram as well, same name, W-A-L-A, last name Amara, A-M-A-R-A. Yes.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know on behalf of Ray Jones and Tyrone Poole, we truly enjoyed having you on Listening with KNN.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Thanks so much again to Walla and Walla for joining us. And as you guys know, be sure to download and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Google Play. All you have to do is put in the search bar, Listen In with KNN. And now, of course, we have to transition to our fourth Around the Nation, where Ray and Tyrone, the NBA trade deadline seems to have everyone going bonkers and crazy as we have some new looks on our basketball team. So I will start out in the East, where the Philadelphia 76ers finally released Markelle Fultz. They gave him to the Orlando Magic for Jonathan Simmons and a first round pick and a second round pick. I will start with you, Ray, as one of our basketball gurus. Ray, when you saw this trade happen, what was your initial thought?
Honestly, I was surprised. I feel like they got some good quality back for Markelle Fultz, seeing that he's been sitting out, you know, dealing with the shoulder injury, the nerve injury.
Yeah.
They got a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and Jonathan Simmons. I think Jonathan Simmons is a great addition to their roster as far as him being a swing man. He's a defensive juggernaut. He can get you a couple buckets here and there, but defensively, him and Jimmy Butler can lock down a couple of backcourts, just them two alone, then you got Embiid down low. So I thought that was a huge piece. And not to change the topic, but I think the bigger piece that they picked up was Tobias Harris.
Yeah, what a pickup.
I think that catapulted them into first place and the number one contender in the East, honestly. Picking up Tobias and Jonathan Simmons together was huge. They got rid of Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala. Some of these pieces they can replace. But if they were able to, you got to think Tobias Harris was considered to be a Western Conference All-Star, and then Jimmy Butler got snubbed this year from the All-Star team. So, you know, Simmons and Embiid, they would have had four All-Stars in their starting lineup next to J.J. Redick, one of the best shooters of all time.
Yeah.
So that starting lineup is tremendously dangerous.
They
got a lot of, they picked up some depth as well. So Boston, they definitely are going to have a threat on their hands. They can definitely run with Boston, compete with Boston. You know, Milwaukee's doing big things. So I really think the Sixers catapulted themselves into first place with those two picks, with those two transactions on the deadline.
Yes, the Beast in the East is what I'll be calling the 76ers from now on. You talked about Tobias Harris. I mean, if you just look at the two games that they've had with Harris already in the starting lineup, they've been averaging offensively 130 points per game, people. Like, that's ridiculous. And they've been shooting just under 48% from the three-point range. And that actually went up about 15 points since they've added Tobias Harris to their starting lineup. And then also, if you look at it, the 76ers are one of the best teams at not turning the ball over. And guess what? Tobias Harris helped that even more. So I think the 76ers are a team that we definitely have to have our eyes on to possibly win the East. You talked about Simmons. He's averaging 6.9 points. So he's a nice pickup, 2.4 rebounds. But I like what the 76ers are doing. They obviously, they're making a championship contender team. And that being said, Tyrone, let me shift it over to you. Do you have the 76ers winning the East this season?
You know, I think you guys did such a great job of explaining everything that it's fitting that I just come in and just add a little period. So I don't need to say much at all. But I will say that the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be very, very fun, I think. And the 76ers right now, they are sitting at a 36-20 record. So, again, the trade, that's how you make yourself better. And the 76ers, I think they did that.
Yeah, for sure. And let's keep it over out east. The New York Knicks, Ray, your team, they traded Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke to the Mavericks for Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, and two first-round picks. So now I will kick it off with you, Tyrone. What did you think about the Knicks trade, and do you think it will help them be a contender this year possibly?
Well, you know, if you're looking at the grade, you know, if you had to give everybody a grade or so, I'm basically going to say the Knicks did average, which would probably be a C. But at some point, I think, you know, they're running talent out of New York, and you can't win when you are doing that to yourself. You know, it's a tough division, and if you don't have the talent to compete. Right now, the Knicks at the bottom of the Atlantic Division, you know, 10-46. So the trade deadline or the trade opportunity situations are supposed to help you get better. But it seems like the Knicks, I don't know, maybe they're still playing for the lottery pick this year.
Yeah, and Ray, switching over to the New York Knicks, I know this is your team, so I know you're pretty passionate about this. How did you feel to see Kristaps Porzingis Knicks and axe out of New York?
I mean, to be honest, I think he pretty much, the writing was on the wall. Kristaps made it pretty clear over the summer that he didn't really want to be on the Knicks anymore. He gave the new head coach a hard time, David Fizdale. He really didn't want to meet with him. He was kind of being secret about his injury. So I think he made it kind of clear back then that he wanted to move on and move on to a different situation. So as far as the GM and the front office, I think we made the best out of the situation. We were able to get two first-round picks. We cleared enough cap room to be able to sign two max contracts this next summer. With that, we're also going to have a pretty high pick because we are, like, the worst team in the league right now. So if we can bring in two quality pieces or maybe even split that up into three quality pieces, and maybe – and we still have a couple of young guys that are pretty good. You know, we got Knox. We got Traer. They're pretty nice. We got Robinson, the center. So we got some nice young pieces, and then we can bring in some veteran leadership. I know a lot of people are talking KD, which is a possibility, but I'm looking more towards Kemba Walker, maybe making a run at Boogie Cousins and Klay Thompson. I say bring in three pieces. You bring in those three pieces in addition to the young pieces that we have and the draft pick that we have coming in, I think we can actually make some noise in this next season. It's unfortunate to see Porzingis leave. I like Porzingis. You know, I was a big advocate for him last year when we used to talk about him. So it's sorry to see him leave. And I love Courtney Lee. That was probably one of my favorite players on the team. He was a great veteran. He brought a lot of leadership to the team. So it's good to see them go into a better situation. And I think Dallas definitely made a huge leap by adding Porzingis to their team. He's going to be a nice addition to Doncic. I think they're going to play well together. It's like they reincarnated the Nash and Dirk Nowitzki of a couple years ago.
I feel like
this is 2.0. So I think both teams are going to come up in that trade. Like I said, for right now, we know our Knicks are not doing anything this year. So why not get some assets? And I feel like we did that. We've already waived Wesley Matthews or planned on waiving Wesley Matthews. I'm hoping DeAndre sticks around, and I like Dennis Smith Jr. He could be the point guard of our future. So if we can't get any big signings in the offseason, I'm confident in Dennis Smith. So we'll see how it goes. Either way, I'm in wait mode right now. I got to wait and see. Hands were tied for the most part. KP didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, I think you said it best. The writing was on the wall. I don't think it was a surprise. I do love the move for Dallas. Because I don't think he gets enough credit. You know what's funny, Ray? I still remember when he was booed on his draft night. People were like, who is this guy coming? And then he became the loved NBA player in New York. And then now he's gone before you know it. And Porzingis, I mean, he's the only player in NBA history to tally at least 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 250 blocks, and 100 made three-pointers over his first two seasons. So, you can't talk about his talent. You can go on and on and on. You talk about playing with Luka. Kristaps, I don't think he gets enough credit, but I think the biggest thing that people are looking at is the money that he's going to need to get over his next 5 years, which many are looking at $158 million guaranteed. So he's a hefty price to pay, but I think he's proved his point. And the NBA trade deadline just showed, a lot of teams, either they're trying to build a championship contender team like the Philadelphia 76ers or like the New York Knicks, are trying to start fresh and new and get rid of some of those heavier contracts. So for Kristaps Porzingis, I'll keep my eye out. But Mark Cuban, I think he has something brewing in Dallas. Speaking of Dallas, they also participated in the NBA trade deadline, and they traded Harrison Barnes to the Kings for Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph. Did you like the move, Ray?
Oh, I love Justin Jackson going to that team for Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. They got pretty much the identical player. Of course, Harrison Barnes a little more seasoned, a little better, but Justin Jackson has the potential to be better than Harrison Barnes. As a smaller contract, and he's able to now grow with Luka. And then once Kristaps comes back next year, that's a nice little three-man core they can build for the next couple of years at a relatively cheap price for a couple of years. So I think that was a great move for them. They weren't necessarily going anywhere this year with Harrison Barnes. Harrison's a great player. I think he's going to be a great addition for the Kings. But Dallas overall, I think they made some killer trades at the deadline. And they put themselves in a great place for the next 4 to 5 years.
Yes. Ooh, very high praise. And now, Tyrone, I'm going to switch over to you, to the Boston Celtics, who traded Jabari Bird to the Hawks. Did you like that move?
Well, the Hawks, again, just like every other team, they are trying to get better. And, I've always thought that the city of Atlanta needed an NBA team. It's been a while since the Atlanta Hawks have really been a contender. But the Celtics really, I don't think they really did anything to really help themselves. So probably I shouldn't bash them. I probably shouldn't bash them, but I'm just from a sports fan, recognizing that trades are trades and you want to try to help yourself at the end of the day to get better. They came out looking bad, and they're dealing with Antonio Davis. When you give them a grade or you look at the Celtics overall, I'm pretty sure Ray, being a basketball fan, he would definitely dive into this and carry on. But me looking at the Celtics, I, again, give them an average score. Now, I do go back to the Dallas Mavericks. I do think, they did a great job with the pickups. They have two guys that they can build around. So the Mavericks just being seven games out of first place have an opportunity, kind of like when San Antonio Spurs had Tim Duncan and they had the Admiral. You had two guys that you can build around. So, but the Celtics, again, with Kyrie Irving, he's still there. The East is a tough division, just like the West. But again, trades are how you make yourself better. And the Celtics, I don't see how they make themselves better with this trade deadline ending.
Good point. Ray, anything to rebuttal that or agree with?
I do agree with him for that, because they saw a lot of their competition make moves to get better. As far as trading Jabari Bird, that was more, I think, of a money thing and to open up a roster position, because he already was dealing with some type of legal issue. So why not cut it now, get away from it, so that it's not become a distraction for the team. You free up some money, and now you also free up that roster space to potentially sign somebody during the buyout market. Because we know after the trade deadline, a lot of players are getting bought out. Like I said, Wesley Matthews getting bought out. Markieff Morris is on the is in a free agency right now looking for a new team. So there's a lot of potential players. So I think that was more so of a roster move. But going back to what Tyrone said, they didn't really do anything drastic as far as like matching what the 76ers did, or what the what the Toronto Raptors did, or what Milwaukee did. So and that part is questionable, but at the same time, Boston has a pretty deep roster. So I don't know what they necessarily could have done or what piece they could have done to bring them in, because already they're dealing with a lot of turmoil, trying to figure out minutes, figure out roles. So I don't know, do they want to necessarily add another piece to that? So it's a lot going with Boston Celtics. They got a lot to figure out before the season, before the playoffs get here. So we'll see what they do with this empty roster spot.
Boston definitely have to keep our eyes on. And staying out east, the Washington Wizards, and of course being based in D.C., they also made some big moves, which I honestly thought was surprising, but I was very excited, if I must say so myself. But on Wednesday, they traded Otto Porter to the Chicago Bulls in exchange for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. Woo, Jabari Parker. I still remember when he was drafted out of the NBA, all of the promising prospects. And that being said, of course, really they were both highly touted when they were drafted. But I think all of us know that they haven't been the players that we thought. And Ray, you talked about Markieff Morris being traded, and like you said, he's available now. And the Washington Wizards, I think they had to get rid of Otto Porter. I think that contract was way too heavy, and he wasn't contributing. He dealt with some injuries this season. And Markieff Morris, of course, he was moved to the bench, and I liked him coming off the bench a lot for the Washington Wizards, but he just hadn't been consistent in his production. And of course, the Washington Wizards right now are trying to get everything together. They've been very injury prone. They have Thomas Bryant, of course, John Wall, with the sad news happening. And he'll be out a whole nother season. Bradley Beal has really had to carry the team. Of course, Dwight Howard, Superman, yes, he's still injured. So I like the moves that the Washington Wizards did. It's not enough to make them, I think, a true contender in the East. But, you know, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. So, Ray, what did you think about Washington's move?
Similar to with Boston, I think that was more like a bunch of money moves. They realized that they're not going to go anywhere without John Wall, especially dealing with the way his injury has escalated. They understand that, why pay such a large salary for a roster that's not going anywhere? Let's get rid of some of these players, bring our payroll down a little bit, and pretty much move forward. But the most shocking part about all of this, I'm okay with the Otto Porter move, but now it takes me back to the Kelly Oubre trade earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean, granted, they probably didn't know how everything was going to turn out, but I know they got to be regretting that trade now, because Kelly Oubre, I think, is going to develop into a better player than Otto Porter is.
Yeah.
Granted, Otto Porter is a great shooter, a great defender, but I think Kelly Oubre may have had a little bit more potential because he's a little bit more athletic. But now you kind of think
and
back,
he plays defense.
Yeah, he plays defense. I think you got to come back now to that trade. Like, man, we could have potentially bought him back or kept him on the team and signed him. And I know he still had a contract year coming up, but they could have signed him for a lot less than they paid Otto Porter. So they got to be kicking themselves now, like, hey, man, we might have made a mistake with that one. But like I said, you never know how the season was going to turn out. Didn't know John Wall was going to get injured. Expected Dwight Howard to be back. You never expected Austin Rivers' situation to fall apart the way it did. So it's kind of hindsight now, but I definitely think that was a mulligan. They won a mulligan for that one and bring Kelly Oubre back.
Yes, Kelly Oubre.
And I'm a borrow Ray's term. Now looking more, since we're talking about Washington Wizards and that's Kelsey's home ground, I'm a borrow Ray term. They just need to blow it up. Isn't that what you say, Ray? They just need to blow it up.
Yeah, they definitely
basically. Yeah, things that they've done doesn't change the state of the franchise. So they just need to accept it. And, it's not happening this year. And, again, blow it up. That's Ray's term.
Just blow it up and be done with it.
I've been calling for them to blow up the Wizards for like 2-3 years now.
Man, I'm telling you. Like they all have.
They need to just pull the Band-Aid off. They keep gradually doing little things. Just blow it up.
Let me tell you what the problem is. Two words, Ernie Grunfeld, and I'll leave it at that. Washington, D.C., you know very well what I'm talking about.
It's been tough times in Washington, and with John Wall's injury, of course, it's not getting any better. But if we're all honest with ourselves, Washington wasn't winning a championship anytime soon. Well, now switch over to the New Orleans Pelicans, where before I have to get into the trade deadlines, Anthony Davis, of course, is the talk of it. So I'll start with you this time, Tyrone. What is up with Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans? Will we see him go anywhere anytime soon?
Well, evidently he's still there. So the team sees some type of benefit in him. Just like, you know, all players, we feel like we are more valuable and we want to go where we can win a championship. If that's, you know, if the current team is not what we feel. But the Pelicans did nothing. And they, again, you know, they kept Antonio Davis. It might net them a better deal in the long haul by keeping him right now. But however many players and teams will be turned off. And just by the acting of this week. So, you know, they again, if I'm giving grades, I just give them an average grade with this NBA trades, the deadline, now that it's over. I just give them an average grade. But again, they kept Antonio Davis, so that was probably one of their main purposes and focus.
Okay, and Ray, your thoughts on the Anthony? I mean, will we see Anthony Davis traded before next season?
I mean, we're going to have to wait to July for this. Obviously, Boston has the most package or the best package or potential package to put together. They got a lot of draft picks, a lot of young studs, a lot of young pieces that are fit on any team. You know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They got a lot of pieces that they can put together. And then the Lakers don't really necessarily have the same amount of assets. I think it's going to be a huge bidding war for Anthony Davis come this offseason. Mm-hmm. My only question is, I don't know that he's – I mean, he is the top five player, generational player, but I don't know if I want to mortgage the entire team for Anthony Davis. He's very
injury. Yeah, and that's what the Pelicans want. they want everything.
He's very injury-prone. I don't know that I want to take that risk. Like, Magic Johnson was willing to give up almost seven players for Anthony Davis. I feel at this point the Pelicans GM was just trolling because he was going to say, I want everything. I want half the stadium. And he still was going to say, I think he just had a personal thing.
He wanted everything, yeah.
But I think he's holding a bit of a grudge. Like, he's not going to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Like, I feel like it's something a little personal there because of the way the whole situation turned out.
Yeah.
But they're making a lot of moves. They picked up a lot of draft picks. I don't know if you saw – they traded Nikola Mirotic to the Bucks, which I think is a huge pickup for the Bucks.
The Bucks have a nice team now.
Yeah. So New Orleans picked up two draft picks with that. But for the Bucks side of things, man, that's just another shooter to put around Giannis. Have all the shooters on the wings and let Giannis go to work in the paint, and they'll knock down those three. So Milwaukee got a lot better with this trade, with their trade as well. So the NBA East, the top four, all look really tough right now. And I think they can rival the top four in the West, honestly. Like, you know, normally in the playoffs, the West is a little bit more competitive than the East is. But this year, I think the East is going to be a juggernaut, man. Whoever makes it out of the East is going to be on one. So I'm very excited about that. The NBA trade deadline, that's like my favorite time of the year. That's my favorite day of the year. I'm just sitting there on my phone all day long. I'm sitting here watching the show.
There's so much going on, yeah.
Yeah, I love NBA deadline. That's easily my birthday for the year. I switch my birthday.
Next time, me and Tyrone will send you gifts on NBA trade deadline
day.
Make sure you get the love. I mean, so much happened. Like you, Ray, it's one of my favorite times. So many moves happened. And, you know, there was a lot of moves, but last but not least, we can't forget the Memphis Grizzlies. And since we have to do this one pretty quick, Ray, I'll let you break this one down. Go ahead. Did you like the Memphis Grizzlies move?
The Memphis Grizzlies, you know, they were in a sell mode because they realized that they're at a turning point with their franchise. They talked about shopping Mike Conley Jr. and Marc Gasol. So they really didn't get too much traction on the Mike Conley trade, so they ended up sending Marc Gasol to the Toronto Raptors for Giannis Valanciunas, which is a nice piece to get back in return. They actually remind me of each other a little bit. Marc Gasol is a better shooter, of course, a better passer, but they're similar. And they also got DeLon White and TJ Miles in second-round pick. So I think they got a decent comeback for Marc Gasol. My only apprehension with this trade for Toronto, he's a great piece to pick up, but he can't necessarily start for them. He'll mess up their starting lineup. So they're actually bringing him off the bench, which I think is different for him because, you know, he's been a superstar for the majority of his career. But I don't know necessarily if he's going to be able to compete with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is a lot younger. He's a lot stronger now. Marc Gasol is a little older in age. He's over the hill in his 30s now. So I don't know if that's enough to keep Toronto in contention with Milwaukee and Philly with the move that Philly and Milwaukee did, man. Those are huge moves. I think this move is more of a B-minus in comparison to their two A-pluses. But we'll see how it turns out. Marc Gasol is a great player. I love his vision. They can run a lot of sets through him. Offensively, they can just give him at the high post. He hit a lot of cutters. He's a great passer, still a great shooter. He just slowed down a little bit defensively, so we'll see how it turns out. But either way, like I said previously, the East is going to be a juggernaut, man. The top four teams are going to go at it. I don't even know if they even need the first round of the playoffs. Get teams 5, 6, 7, and 8. We don't need those. Just let them be.
Making it interesting,
Yeah, man, it's going to be crazy.
And it's so funny because, remember, LeBron had the comment about him leaving the East and what he basically thought would happen to the East. But now we're saying LeBron, who, like, the East is competitive, and we've been waiting for that. And it's been an exciting time. And I think the NBA needed this. So all of the moves, I love it. Like you, Ray, I think right now the top spots in the East will be competing at it. And it's good basketball all around. So season ticket holders, put a smile on your face and be happy. We're now going to switch over to football because there have been a lot of big moves. And, of course, Antonio Brown has been making the social media waves. If you had not seen the craziness, none other than Adam Schefter broke news that Antonio Brown, of course, he's not been traded or released, but he does want a trade. And he wants to basically officially be released from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had the whole video. Did you guys see the video of the farewell, Ray and Tyrone? 9 seasons, and he's like, the farewell video he posted on social media. I'll start with you, Tyrone, as a former NFL player. Antonio Brown and all that's going on. What are your overall thoughts?
I'm lost for words with Antonio. Much respect for his talent, but I'm losing respect for his antics. You know, being a 6th-round draft pick in 2010, you know, he's made his way. He's climbed his way to the top. You know, he's been the franchise MVP 4 times, which players vote on that, coaches vote on it. So they recognize his talent. The person who he is now, I'm pretty sure you were asking about in the locker room, they would say, this is not the guy that we see on the football field. But the reality of it is he is a player that is one of the Pittsburgh Steelers' best players. And I think the way he's carried himself is not supporting of that, you know, especially when you storm out of practice and remain away from the team for days, you know, proceeding up to the regular season finale. And then you expect to come back and play. You know, it doesn't operate like that. It doesn't matter how good you are. No one is bigger than the team. So, of course, Mike Tomlin refused to let him play. But you know, Antonio Brown, somebody's going to pick him up. You know, somebody, I think the Steelers just need to go ahead and get rid of him. But they can't just do it, just cut him, because there's ramifications of money. And just like we talked about the NBA trade, you know, to pick up players, release players, it's all a money situation. And the more cap you have, the more you can build yourself a team, just like the Los Angeles Rams did. They built them a team, and they did get to the Super Bowl. But, of course, I think they were too young, and, you know, they couldn't handle the veteran leadership of the Patriots. But, you know, Antonio Brown does have a little bit of baggage. You know, he reckless driving 100 miles per hour. The league, of course, they are not sanctioning him to a point yet. With that incident, but he also has some other things, separate league investigations on recent incidents that sparked allegations of domestic misconduct. But, you know, the Steelers, what are they going to do with it? You know, they do they save money by cutting him? You know, he's going to count at least $21 million on the salary cap. So there are a lot of things that they got to consider, you know, June 1st, trading him. So whether they trade him or cut him, the treatment is identical on the cap, unless the player has agreed, has a guaranteed salary.
remaining on his contract. Uh-huh. But either way, I think Brown is out of Pittsburgh, and it's just a matter of time.
Mm, and it seems like it. I mean, it feels like the writing, again, is on the wall. We talked about this in the NBA. It's no question that Antonio Brown is one of the best wide receivers in football right now. And Tyrone, you talked about being one of the best players on the Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, what he's done for that team has been immense. When you see Antonio Brown on the other side, defenses are scared because he does his job. He's Mr. Reliable for them. He set records. I don't need to go into that. He is a lot of money, right? I mean, he is a very good player. But that being said, Ray, if he were to be traded, right, and we see him gone from Pittsburgh, let me ask you, Ray, what do you think the best landing spot would be for him?
I mean, honestly, I think at this point, that's their only option is to trade him. There's no way they can cut him and take that big cap hit or to pay all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much guaranteed money he has left, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot because I know at one point he was negotiating for a rather large contract. So they have to move him. And he's made it pretty clear that he wants to go to the 49ers. At least that's what the rumors are, which I think would be a good fit. He has a connection with one of the coaches out there, so I can understand that move. But to be honest with you, that's the main place I would see him going. I could see him fitting over there. But I want to really look back more so at the actual Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Like, you're going to lose your two best players in one season. Like, what is going on over there? Like, people forget about Le'Veon Bell sat out the entire season because of the contract dispute. And honestly, if you really look at it, Antonio Brown has been gradually – this has been a snowball thing. Like, he's had an issue the entire season. If you remember back when Le'Veon was sitting out, he showed his support for Le'Veon Bell. He got a little bit of backlash for that. Then he had another gripe with Ben Roethlisberger about not getting the ball, and they were saying there was some jealousy against Juju Smith-Schuster. He wasn't necessarily being the number one priority. He felt like Juju was getting a lot of more passes than he was. And then, of course, the couple of sideline tips that they showed on camera, different games, arguing with coaches and things like that. So this has been building up, like, the entire season, if not into the offseason. So I really want to, like, look at the locker room and see what's going on in the Steelers locker room. Is something going on with Mike Tomlin? Because you, as a if I was a Steelers fan, I'd be like, whoa, why are we losing our two best players?
Yeah.
In the same year, like at the same time, like what exactly is going on? Why can't we keep our guys happy? So, granted, Antonio Brown is pretty much a lost cause at this point. He's going to have to be traded. I can't see him going back to that locker room.
Yeah.
And
it would be too toxic.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see Le'Veon Bell coming back. So, how do they recover from that, really, is my real question. And is it something with Mike Tomlin?
That's a great question. I think that's something everyone's asking. As someone who regularly covers teams in the AFC North, believe me, every team is looking at this, eating popcorn, sitting back, and can't wait for Antonio Brown to possibly be gone. I mean, because he changes the dynamics of the Steelers. About it, the Steelers are losing some top talent. And I think like you, if it is the 49ers, I think he'd be great. I mean, look at their leading wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne. He finished the year, guys, with only 487 yards total. Last year, the 49ers' leading receiver in terms of passes was their tight end, okay? So they need a wide receiver. I would like it for, honestly, let's be honest. I think if you add him to any team, their receiving core gets better. I think some people are also looking at the Arizona Cardinals, because, of course, Larry Fitzgerald continues to be getting up there, and he would be a nice replacement. You can look at, like, the Packers, the Raiders. Even here in Washington, the Washington Redskins could use someone like Antonio Brown because they need a sure catch receiver. But that being said, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, it really needs to reevaluate what's going on, because, I mean, when you see this many players that seem to be unhappy and stuff isn't going right, you have to look from the top down. And I think the writing, again, is on the wall. It seems to be the common thread through all these stories. And Antonio Brown, I think we got to get rid of him, because obviously him staying in Pittsburgh, no one's going to be happy. The players, there's been disgruntlement between them. Antonio Brown's going to be disgruntled, and nobody can win with that. And even, I mean, guys, there was 84 jerseys on sale in Pittsburgh, 70% off. So even the fans are done okay with Antonio Brown. So that just seems to be the point that we've reached in Pittsburgh. And you guys, stay with football.
I want to say this real quick about, you know, the Pittsburgh organization, I respect. That's one of the most respected organizations in National Football League. So I think the top is very secure. What I think it is you have these young players. You have young-minded people. Society has given the young people a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, you go and you talk to older veterans. The reason why you hear a veteran say, you know what, I would not dare act like that. It's almost like the older generation had more respect. The younger generation don't have respect for nothing no more. They feel self-entitled and they didn't have to work for anything. So, you know, this is the attitude that you get. But as far as cutting him, I think they can cut him, but it would have to be a June 1st, after a June 1st cut. And I'll say this real quickly. By cutting Antonio Brown after June 1st, they would actually have a savings of $15 million for 2019. But, you know, everybody don't get too happy because that money still comes back in 2020. So at least if you got a smart front office, they could take that $15 million, do something with it. Because guess what? Because of television contracts get better and better, teams get more salary cap room year in and year out. So the money gets higher. So the Pittsburgh Steelers can come out on top. But I believe they're going to try to trade him and get more value for him. But that's a great organization.
Yeah, and I think you make great points. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously, historically, they've been fantastic. There's a reason why they have all of those Super Bowl wins. And I think overall, I mean, people respect the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. But I would make the point, and you know this as a former Patriot, I think things that we see what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, we wouldn't see going on with the organization like the New England Patriots, because it seems like it's a no-nonsense type of place, right? Tyrone, and you can attest to this. And if you go there, you might take a salary cut, you might do whatever, but you know you're probably going to have a chance to win a championship. So I feel like they don't get the antics that we're seeing right now with Antonio Brown. And it's sad, and I'll be honest with you, Tyrone, to see an African-American head coach, right? There's very few of them left in the NFL right now, but to see him dealing with these antics, it's sad. And I think it makes a lot of people question him. I don't think it's fully him, but I think it's something that shows that we need just better control. Because I think a lot of players respect Mike Tomlin, but what's going on with Antonio Brown, it's just sad to see. Again, he's such a great player. Pittsburgh loves him. The fans love him. But now it just seems like everything is just degrading. And that's why, I mean, for him to release that video, it just, I mean, I don't need to say any words to him. I mean, he's just done. He's done. And he's ready to move on. And speaking of moving on, you guys, Kareem Hunt to the Cleveland Browns. He is officially back in football. Of course, news broke on Tuesday morning. So, Ray, tell me, I mean, what are your overall thoughts of seeing Kareem Hunt back in the NFL?
I mean, like, if you remember earlier in the season when we talked about when he got cut, I was like, he's going to be back next year. I expected it that because the NFL is so forgiving. They accept. I mean, granted, everyone deserves a second chance, so I'm not knocking him for that. But I expected a team to hop on it. Granted, I don't really think he's going to play this next coming year. I think he's going to be suspended for a significant amount of time. So, really, the Browns are more so just owning his rights right now. So, they'll have the first opportunity to sign him to a longer deal once his suspension is done. I think this was more of a business move, not necessarily a move for their roster to be better next season. Because you got to think they still have Chubb there who's going to eat up a lot of the carries. Kareem Hunt is probably going to be suspended at a minimum 12 games, I think, because it's a pretty brutal video. And I don't think the NFL is going to take it lightly, especially seeing that there's a video associated with the incident. So, like I said, the Browns more so, I think they're thinking about this long term. If you know their GM, I believe it was their GM, he's the one who actually drafted Kareem Hunt back in Kansas City. So they have a relationship already. So I appreciate him going back to help one of his guys out. He feels like he knows him personally. Playing in Cleveland, Kareem Hunt is from that area, so he's going to be more of a comfort zone. He'll be around some family, hopefully, and move his life on a better path. And then the Browns will probably try to do something more long-term after his suspension is done. So it's kind of a low-risk move by the Browns, I would say, because they have an insurance policy with Chubb as a running back, so it's not like they need him right now. So I think it's a good move for them.
Tyrone, do you agree with Ray?
Well, I'm kind of split on it. You know, if I'm Nick Chubb, you know, I would say this. I'll say this. As a cornerback, what I would do every year is when the draft came around, I would see who the team picked in the first, second, third round. And if they picked the defensive back in the first, second, or third round, then, you know, I started to really get uneasy with that choice. And I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb is saying the same thing. You know, look, Nick had a great year with a team that basically was, you know, in fiasco, you know, the beginning of the season, and then they ironed things out
Nick Chubb still came away with almost 1,000 yards rushing. So, you know, 5.2 yards a carry. So Nick is no drop in the bucket where he will be satisfied with being a backup. You know, Kareem Hunt, yeah, you know, he's done his thing in Kansas City. But I've also seen players where they move from one team to another and they never arrive at that level again. I see it a lot. I know you guys see it a lot. The fans see it a lot. And as far as with, you know, on a good side of it, you know, yeah, Kareem Hunt, when he comes back, the season starts, the NFL may bring down penalties. But what he will still be allowed to do is practice with the team. He probably won't be able to play games, but he'll still be able to practice and get in the rotation. So unless they just have it where he has to stay away from the facility. But he will come in and be able to practice, whether he runs scout team or whatever. He'll get conditioned. So when he does come back, it's not like some guys, some running backs or players that sit out the whole training camp and come back and get injured and they're out for the rest of the year. At least here with Kareem Hunt, he will be allowed to practice, I'm believing, and, you know, he should have a smooth transition, hopefully. But I have seen teams go from one style of play to another style of play, and they never reached that level that they had previously. But Nick Chubb, you know, credit to him, rookie year, came out. He and Sony Michel, coming from the University of Georgia, both had great seasons. So if I'm Nick Chubb, I'm like, what's going on? You know, I'm still the number one guy in my mind, but I understand you want competition. But, you know, if I'm Nick Chubb, you know, I don't like this situation.
Well, Kelsey, I still do believe Nick Chubb will be the number one, but I think a lot of teams are adapting the two running back system. Like you think with the Saints, they got Kamara and Mark Ingram, which are both pretty much starting running backs. You know, Chicago has they had Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. I can see Kareem Hunt fitting into that same mold with Nick Chubb as well. Nick Chubb will probably be the one and two, the first and second down back, and the third back will probably be Kareem Hunt because he's good at catching out the backfield, which is something he excelled in Kansas City. You don't think that they will probably try to adjust to allow that system to work like that? Or?
And I hear what you're saying, Ray, and I appreciate what you're saying, but you also have to understand, too, is money. Mm-hmm. So at some point, Nick Chubb is going to come back up for contract. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. You have a great that's, you know, I don't refute anything you said, but, again, you know, I've seen it. And here in Atlanta, same thing. You know, it can become a problem.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate both your thoughts. I will keep the ball rolling as we have a lot more of the show to get through in a quick amount of time. But interesting to note, there is a lot of controversy from Mary Kay Cabot, who's a writer for Cleveland.com. She wrote an article about the Kareem Hunt signing saying if the Browns can help Kareem Hunt become an asset to his hometown instead of another member of his family behind bars, his controversial signing by John Dorsey will go down as a victory. So, of course, people are questioning her choice of words, asking if he would become another member of his family behind bars. So just want to keep that for our listeners. Be sure to use the hashtag ListeningWithKNN to give us your thoughts on that comment and if you see something wrong with it. All right, guys, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Listening with KNN.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-280-1876. 800-280-1876. That's 800-280-1876.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, where I am Kelsey Bonelson, joined as always by my co-host Ray Jones and sports analyst Tyrone Poole. We are going to keep going into the show. We are now going to transition into my Kelsey's Do the Big in the DMV segment, where John Wall is the talk of the NBA, and really, I'd say, in sports, because earlier last week, John Wall revealed that his mom was battling cancer. And while that's happening and while he's been injured, he's actually planning to graduate from Kentucky. You guys remember his stellar one season at Kentucky before he got drafted to the NBA. But of course, he's coming over his ruptured Achilles injury. And basically, if that's not bad enough, he slipped and fell again on his home on February 5th. So his injury is even worse. He's sidelined. But I'm commending John Wall, because when he revealed his mom had cancer and all that he's been going through, he just kept a positive attitude. And he's looking at this time to spend more time with his newborn son. So that being said, Raymond, what do you think of overall about John Wall and all the great stuff that he's been doing, even with all the hard stuff he's been battling?
Hey, you know, I'm a huge John Wall fan, so it's unfortunate for him to see him re-injure himself at home. It's good to see him go back to school, finish out his degree, so hopefully he stays positive, and hopefully his mother just gets a little healthier, pulls through this situation, and everything stays well for them.
Yes, and Tyrone, you also, I mean, I'm going back to school this summer to get my business degree, because that's what I'm focusing on, and I promised my dad that. That being said, what do you overall think of John Wall?
Yeah, I actually did the same thing that John did. I went back and finished my degree. I left college early and, you know, went into the NFL, but said I was going to come back after my first year, but first year turned into 13 years. So, but it's glad to see athletes go back and finish up their college degrees.
Yes. And it's huge, and I hope more athletes take advantage of that. We're now going to transition over to my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where Wade Davis is making headlines, as he's not your typical retired professional NFL player. The now 40-year-old played in the NFL for 3 seasons. He was an undrafted free agent for the Tennessee Titans, and then guess what? He later played in NFL's Europe League. He had some short stints with Seattle Seahawks and Washington, D.C.'s Washington Redskins, but he retired in 2003 due to a leg injury. But he made headlines because in 2012 he publicly came out, and then of course that's when everything changed, and today he's an outspoken advocate for LGBTQ rights. He said the amount of privilege that being an NFL player gives you is in F-word measurable, right? I can't say that on air. But he's now the NFL's first inclusion consultant dealing with issues like racism, sexism, and homophobia in sports. He's also the director of professional sports outreach for You Can Play. It's an organization that promotes equality. He's also a UN Women Champion for Innovation as part of their Global Innovation Coalition for Change. And he regularly advises for Google and other Fortune 500 companies working on more inclusive work environments. Let's start with you, Tyrone. What do you think about Wade Davis and kind of his legacy since he's left the NFL?
Well, we all have platforms. I definitely believe that. And, you know, Wade is doing what he's supposed to do, you know, playing defensive back from Weber State. So he's doing great things coming from a small institution. Now he's on the big stage. And, you know, the more people that we have doing the right thing, I think it would make this country a little bit better than where we are. So my hat's off to him.
Yes. And Wade Davis, Raymond, how does his story speak to you?
Tyrone pretty much said it. Like, it's always great when athletes or anyone with a platform uses their platform in a positive way to inspire people, to influence the society, to make the world a better place. So kudos to him and everything he's doing positive. Just keep going. Keep striving.
Yeah, well said. Well said, Wade. Continue the great work. You have the support here from all of us at Listen In with KNN. And I'll switch it over to you, Ray, to transition us into our next segment.
All right, for this segment of Are You Serious right now? As you all probably know by now, Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar Ball, has been very vocal about his displeasures with the Lakers coach Luke Walton's coaching tactics. He even stated that Luke is the worst coach Lonzo has ever had. That's pretty crazy for him to say to his current coach. There's a lot of speculation that LeVar's preference, if Lonzo was to be traded, was to be traded to the Suns. Now that the trade deadline has passed and Lonzo is still on the team, he's sitting there having to deal with all the things that his father said. So I'm pretty sure his teammates are looking at him sideways, looking at him crazy, like, hey, I thought you had control of your dad. Because if you notice, LeVar Ball has been relatively quiet for like about the last year or so, I would say. So for him to come out of the woodwork now, saying all these detrimental things about Luke Walton and the Lakers organization, I think it's going to have a very, very bad impact on the rest of Lonzo's season. So I can definitely see him being moved in the offseason, whether it be for Anthony Davis or elsewhere. So are you serious right now? Goes to LaVar Ball.
Yeah, LaVar is LaVar. But I will say, I mean, LaVar is not doing anything that's unexpected. Obviously, he believes that his son is the greatest player. We've had him on the show. And I will just say, though, the bashing, though, of the coach and some of the stuff he's doing, I don't agree with it. It doesn't help Lonzo at all. But LaVar, it's just honestly, it's headlines. And, right, he's still selling Big Baller brand. So at this point in the time, I think we have to take what he says lightly. And just think he's being a dad, right? He believes in his son. And of course, we all know that the Lakers' problems cannot just be blamed on Luke Walton. That was my two cents.
The thing I'll add to it is LaVar Ball understanding, you know, that he's coached, you know, his kids probably from, you know, the time they were able to dribble up until the time they got their names called to play in the NBA. So he probably has a strong attachment, which sometimes that can happen with a parent that actually has been training their kids through professional sports or sometimes in acting or whatever the career is. Sometimes I think as a parent, you have to turn loose and just be a parent now and let the team, the coaches, the players be who they're supposed to be. So it's kind of like some of these NFL owners, you know, they just need to stay in the box and watch the game.
Well said. We are now going to transition it over to Women Crush Every Day because, of course, we give love to women in sports on the show. And, of course, we just had National Girls and Women in Sports Day. So shout out to all of the great women doing great stuff in sports. The reason why I am honoring them as my Women Crush Every Day is because of the startling statistic. By the age of 14, girls are dropping out of sports at 2 times the rate of boys. So, unfortunately, we're seeing more girls fall out of in high school. I think that has to change. I think me, Tyrone, and Ray can all attest to how sports changed our lives and just the importance of them, even if you don't go on to play professionally. And just one person I want to shout out is American Ninja Warrior Megan Martin, who has basically made it a goal of hers to keep girls in the game. She has partnered with a great group, basically celebrating women every day. And through her brand, they're trying to empower girls to be active. I think that's what it comes at to the end of the day. We just want kids to be active. So that being said, Tyrone, I know you have a daughter. How important is it for women and girls to stay in sports?
It's awesome. It's good to see, I know from a father's standpoint, what I would be like if I was a female. You know, my daughter, she gives me that vision of what I would be like because I see myself an awful lot in her. I just recently had my father and daughter dance, and I said some great things about her as far as what did I see in her. And like I told her, I saw my passion. I saw the athletic ability that I see that others saw in me. And on another note, the American Ninja Warrior, I have put my name into the hat. So hopefully with this, within the next several weeks, maybe they'll be calling me and you'll see me running out there with my Super Bowl rings on to try to give me some good luck.
That would be dope.
But,
wow.
Yeah.
Your ring will be rooting for you for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I love it when females play sports.
Nice. Really quick, Tyrone, it's so funny you said that because Akbar, the host, one of the hosts, I interviewed him during the Super Bowl and he challenged me if it comes to DC, he would like to see me try to join it. But guess what, Tyrone, I'm not embarrassing myself on national television. So I will root for you to be fantastic and be great. But Ray, I will now switch it over to you. You also have a daughter, right, Ray? What do you think about girls in sports?
Well, first, I want to say, Kelsey, please go on the show too.
Oh, my God. You just want to laugh at me, Ray. So that's
please.
I'm so out of shape.
That would be amazing. But I think, like Tyrone said, it's great to have daughters that play sports. You see yourself in them. Granted, he's an NFL star, so his daughter might be a little bit more advanced than my kids are or will be. My gene pool isn't the same. But I love to see my kids get competitive. I try to push them. I treat them like if they were a boy, girl, it doesn't matter. You're going to play hard. We're going to work hard, and we're going to beat everybody. We don't like losing over here. So it's great, and I think we got to keep pushing our kids, our young girls, to strive to be their best and compete. It's all about competing, and everything else will fall in place.
Well said, well said. I love having two co-hosts here on the show that have daughters. I think it's fantastic. Both of you guys
keep up the great work that you guys are doing with not just your girls, but your boys too. And yeah, fantastic Saturday on the show. All right, Ray, I will now switch it on to you to give us what's the move in sports.
I mean, obviously, everybody's looking forward to NBA All-Star Weekend. I think it's going to be a great weekend. There's a lot of buzz going around after the NBA All-Star Draft. That created a lot of attention for the game. So starting off Friday, we're going to have the Celebrity Game, and then we'll also have the Rising Stars versus the U.S. versus the world. That's going to be a lot of first- and second-year players from around the world and in the U.S. taking on each other. I think that's going to be an interesting game. You get to see a lot of potential in that game. Saturday, of course, is one of the headliners. We have the Skills Challenge. It's going to be very interesting to see that. You usually have the big fellas against the small guys. I think I'm rooting for I know Mike Conley's won that competition a couple of times. He always does well. But I think I'm going to go rock with Luka Doncic. I think he's going to be my favorite for that one. And then, of course, probably the most exciting part of the All-Star Weekend, the three-point competition. You know, we have Steph Curry coming back. He's a deadly downrange shooter. Then he'll also be joined by Devin Booker. And as well as Stephen's brother, we have Seth Curry.
Yes, so there's
going to be a lot of competition in that one. So I'm excited to see who wins that. And then lastly, the dunk contest. I got to go with my guy, Dennis Smith Jr. He's a new Knick, so we got to root for him. He's explosive. He's small, but he gets up there. He's very powerful when he dunks. So we got to see who's going to win that one. And then, of course, to end it all off on Sunday, we're going to have Team Giannis against Team LeBron. The teams are very well mixed. The draft was very, very nice to see, televised. It was very interesting. A lot of tampering was going on, so it was interesting to see how the offseason is going to play out with that as well. You saw LeBron picked up a lot of free agents for the summer on his roster for the All-Star game. So I'm looking forward to this All-Star weekend. I think it's going to be one of the best ones so far. It's going to be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, so we'll see how it goes. And that's pretty much what I'm looking for and what's the move for this weekend.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. I might be going down, so I'll keep you guys updated. Tyrone, are you a big fan of All-Star?
You know what? Charlotte was the area where I first started my NFL career. So
yeah.
It's good to see the All-Star game in the Queen City, they call it. So, you know, it's always fun to see these guys do things that – most of us just dream of, you know, whether it's in that the NBA dunk contest, you know, driving and running the length of the court and jumping or leaping from the free throw line and slamming it in. So, you know, it's always amazing, you know, to see what these abilities of great athletes, what they can do.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Ray, thanks so much for giving us the rundown. We'll have to keep our eyes on all of it. And, of course, we're glad to see it in Charlotte because, of course, most basketball fans probably remember it was supposed to be in Charlotte before, but it got delayed because of their controversial bathroom bill, which, of course, singled out transgender people, unfortunately, and limited local LGBTQ anti-discrimination protections. But like Tyrone, I have a special heart for Charlotte. Kemba Walker, very excited to see him play, giving the hometown NBA team vibes to everyone, and I think it's going to be great in Charlotte. So I think everyone needs to prepare, but I think we're on for some great stuff. And Ray, really quick, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the first ever trade in the All-Star game history? What did you think about that overall thing?
I thought that was pretty funny. It was good television.
Yeah.
I think it made the teams a little more even because Giannis' team was pretty big, honestly. They had a lot of all players. It was a little lopsided, so for them to get Russell Westbrook back, I thought
Ben Simmons,
and also I felt like LeBron's team had a lot of people that were ball dominant. I don't know that they would have worked well with LeBron, James Harden. Then you still had KD, then Russell Westbrook. There's a lot of ball dominant players on that team, so I felt as though that trade was a great trade for both sides, honestly.
Nice. Yeah, I like some of the changes they're making in NBA also. I think it keeps getting more and more interesting. Of course, the celebrity game should always be fun. Was I wrong in missing that Kevin Hart won't be in it this year?
I think it's good for him not to be in it. I feel like he's overstayed his bubble a little bit. Like, he was winning MVP every year, but he was only averaging like 2 points a game. Like, it was getting a little out of hand.
We just love Kevin. That's why. We just love Kevin. We love Kevin.
Yeah, it was
but,
cool,
you know,
entertainment-wise, but I get it. The joke's over now. Get him out of here.
No free TV tickets for the show from Kevin Hart. But we will now transition to Tyrone's motivational quote of the week. So, Tyrone, with all due, the floor is all yours.
All right. Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, Ray. Tyrone Poole's motivational quote of the week. This week, it is for the fans who sit, read, or listen to sports news, hoping for the best while dealing with reality. NFL fans dealing with the reality of NFL free agency and the possibility of their favorite players being cut. The NHL fans dealing with news that the New York Islanders are on track for some history this year. NBA fans dealing with the fact that the Lakers didn't tamper with Simmons. In NASCAR fans dealing with the facts of Jimmy Johnson to possibly run in the Boston Marathon. And moving last but not least, the NBA, in Major League Baseball, MLB, the fans hearing that all teams will be wearing the number 150 patch on their uniforms, which honors the first all-professional team, the Cincinnati Red Stockings, 150 years ago. Sometimes we like the news of sports, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like the rain, and sometimes we don't like the rain. Motivational quote is, you can't control the variables. You can only control you. That's Tyrone Poole's motivational quote of the week.
Thank you so much, Tyrone. I feel like I just want to drop the mic every time I see you speak. We might have to start adding Reverend Tyrone to the flyer just for that, but we appreciate your insight, Tyrone. You always keep us motivated for the week ahead. So thanks again for that. I really hope someone out there listening takes what you said to heart. I know me and Ray surely do. And, you know, for everyone listening, we appreciate you guys as always. But that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun. And of course, jump in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online each and every Tuesday at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyHonelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to each and every one of us. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.